Sunday is Mother's Day, and for the occasion, we have a story from writer Rick Bass. It's called Some Safe Place.
I remember, can never forget, and do not wish to, when my mother was sick from leukemia and had made the decision to take the treatment of chemotherapy and radiation that would buy her another year and a half of life. I remember walking downstairs with her from her hospital room to the first floor, where there was a store or shop or what have you, that supplied wigs for after the treatment. I remember the clarity and depthlessness, the steadiness of her blue-gray eyes as we examined the wigs and I offered second opinions, comments on the styles and colors. She was young and had beautiful short brown hair that still had copper-red hues in it when she was out in the bright sun. She examined the headpieces as if they were merely vegetables in a supermarket and not the beginning, the final beginning, of this new thing. Her quiet steadiness, that same inner calm, was courage of a type I'd never seen before, nor since. We tend to think of bravery as a shouted, muscle-flexing thing, but it was the way she examined those wigs with me, as if she were holding all of her beauty in one hand, considering a trade or a purchase, and not complaining of the quality or lack thereof in the purchase, the trade she was about to make. I remember one of the times she was in isolation for, 6 weeks? After the radiation, waiting for the new cells to come back true and clean, which they did the first time. You couldn't have contact with other people. You had zero immunity to the world. The man taking the same treatment in the room next to her couldn't stand it, and, as my mother put it, he went over the wall, just got up and walked out one day, halfway into his treatment. She stayed in hers and bought for us with that sorrow another year. We visited her, phoned her, flooded her with mail and visits and stories. It was the spring, and in Montana the cottonwood buds were sticky and green and making their sweet scents. Her mail down in Houston had to be irradiated before she could open it. I sent her some of those buds anyway, wrapped in saran wrap, but when they opened the mail to irradiate it, they took the buds out and threw them away. "16 already," she said, speaking of my youngest brother when she was in the hospital on his birthday. Can you imagine? She was in and out of the hospital, living on our blood, on friends' blood, and on that of strangers. She couldn't use my blood. It was too much like hers, had a low platelet count, and gave her an allergic reaction. My mother was as straight as an arrow, funny and beautiful, but firm, strict, true. One of my father's business associates was a wildish kind of man, fond of hard liquors and cigars and such. It was his blood to which my mother responded best. By the time it was nearing the end, though of course it never ends, we were calling him Uncle Jack. At my middle brother's birthday dinner, she was home again and well again, and it was a wonderful dinner. She was talking about what it had been like when the doctors had discovered the name of what she had. There was this one chromosome that they called the Philadelphia chromosome, and there was no doubting it, that was the one that was making all this happen. They could see it under the microscope. There was a word for what they hoped the treatment would bring about. Not remission, but some word like that, only more marvelous. One of those words that end in I-O-N, and which we clung to brightly that night, as my father informed us that the doctors thought that was what was occurring. The crooked chromosomes straightening back out like bent iron bars being trued by a circus strongman. I have forgotten what that word was since, but I knew it then. There's this lake up here, high in the forested mountains, where she and I and my father and my wife went fishing back when she was first sick, but before we knew. She had a pain in her elbow, that was all. It was in the summer, and they were up in the mountains visiting us. I was as strong as an ox, and because she and my father wanted to go fishing, I drove up toward this lake and then carried my canoe over my head through the old forest and up the mountain to this hidden lake that I knew about. The lake was deep and cold and surrounded by the mountains and the deep green of the forest. Tamaracks, pines, spruce, fir, cedar. The lake was a perfect circle, like the crater of a volcano, and its waters were dark. Tall green grasses surrounded it at the forest's edge, and yellow lily pads lined its perimeter where blue dragonflies darted. There was a cow moose with a calf at one end of the lake, and a deer with her fawn at the other end. My mother was wearing a wide straw hat, and the fish were rising in the still waters all around us. We caught fish all afternoon, silver trout, rainbows and cutthroats, taking turns in the green canoe. My mother and I, my mother and my wife, my father and I, my father and my mother. We came home and cleaned and cooked the fish. We sat on the porch in the long summer twilight and watched bats swooping against the violet sky, watched the first stars begin to make themselves visible, and held the image of the lake and that day somewhere far within us in some safe place.
Rick Bass is a writer living in the Yaak Valley in northwestern Montana. His story, Some Safe Place, originally appeared in the journal Doubletick.